Today's episode of Wine Time Fridays is brought to you in part by our friends at Eternal Wine and Coeur d'Alene Fresh.
Are you a Rhone Ranger or just really love Syrah? Then you need to check out Eternal Wine. Their focus is on single vineyard Rhone Valley wines in Washington State. Visit eternalwine.com for more information or simply call 509-240-6258. Eternal Wine. Drink wine. Be happy.
Experience the warmth of winter at Coeur d'Alene Fresh, your exclusive private venue wine bar. Reach out to Marla at 208-676-8933 via call or text. Here's to toasting unforgettable moments at Fresh.
So I found these conversations are fascinating. And then also, as I got into doing this, there comes a point where you and I've said this before, I'll say it again, you're a real podcaster, 200 episodes. Most people don't need to have a podcast. I get it, like, oh, I have my voice now. But there's podcasts I can't get past. The person starts talking and I'm done because their voice is just not pleasing. Because it's an audio, the medium is audio. Now, this is talk radio. Right?
It is, yeah.
Do you have a voice for that, right? Like Fran Drescher would never be on the radio.
It's been a long week, right? Are you ready to wind down? Why not? It's time for the Wine Time Fridays podcast with Shelly and Phil. Neither are sommeliers, but both have a deep passion for life, each other, and of course, delicious wine. And now, here to talk about this week over a glass of wine is Shelly and Phil. It's wine time.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Wine Time Fridays with Shelly and Phil, less Shelly for the second week in a row. She is not feeling well. So you know what? I'm not even going to bring the wine bell this week. That's her job, and it feels dirty for me to use the wine bell. So happy Friday, April 29th, episode 210. Happy Friday. It's wine time. And we have got with us today, you don't know this, MJ, but I am introducing you today as MJ Love, Peace, and Hot Grease Towler.
Oh, did I use that one of my, did I use that one of my signature? Yes.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I don't.
All I know is I heard that and I'm like, oh, that's going in. Love, Peace, and Hot Grease. Formerly the Black Wine Guy, because only like in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, there's been a rebrand. And this is a better rebrand than when Elon Musk did with Twitter over to X. That was a stupid rebrand that never should have happened. MJ, welcome to Wine Time Fridays. Thank you for being here. And why don't you, go into a little bit of the story behind the Black Wine Guy experience, why the name came around, and then why the pivot as I open my first wine.
Awesome. Well, Phil, thanks for having me, first of all. I appreciate it. I'm really cool to be here. You are a legit podcaster. 210 episodes. That's
210.
No joke,
guys. 210. Yeah,
I know what it takes. Yes. That's a lot.
Well,
that's
I'm going to tell you that I was in ICU for 16 days in 2021 with COVID, and I did 3 episodes. No Shelly, no wine bell, and no wine. Basically, it was episode 69 was one of the highest listened to episodes we had, which pissed me off because there was no wine. And so finally got enough listens on other ones. It pushed it down the list. But it's always been, we've never missed a week. There was one week where we worked up against the clock on Friday. We publish on Friday. I actually recorded something that said, hey guys, this is Phil. It was 45 seconds. This is a placeholder for this episode. And so then I went back and put the right audio in. But we've not missed a week, which is, as you know, very, very difficult to do. But we're very proud
of it. Absolutely. You should be proud of it. The Black Wine Guy, I will retain that Instagram handle.
Sure.
I will retain. I have blackwineguy.com, theblackwineguy.com. I'm Black Wine Guy on X and TikTok and Wonderful Wine, Phil Lane. However, you know, the podcast got started in 2020, and I've come from a different angle with this, and my angle was I used to listen to Tim Ferriss show religiously.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I used to listen to Rogan for a while, and then he just got too long and a little too crazy for me.
3 hours on average. No script, no anything, just dives right in.
But my show is kind of modeled after those two. Those are without a doubt the two most successful podcasts in the history of podcasting.
Sure, sure.
And the first press I got after I launched, R.H. Drexel wrote a wonderful piece about me. I want to shout out R.H. and JebDunnick.com. It was calling Chatting with MJ Taller, the Intersection of Wine and Music. Because I got known, I was just playing around on Instagram making fun of influencers. I never showed my face for a long time. I would my bottles in my hands and I would review the wines. Every review started with some type of song lyrics. Sometimes it would be like I have an Echolands Grenache from Doug Frost. So it might be a song from Echo and the Bunnymen, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a song that's just right on point with the wine. Sometimes it's one lyric in my head. I taste the wine and I don't know, that song comes to me. So that's how I got started. So it was always, sure. And I got started with a producer had reached out to me on Instagram who had worked in unscripted television. And so, you know, when you're sitting there creatively, I've never done this. And the idea with the Black Wine Guy experience, Black Wine Guy was, that's also me. Some people, it's not a political statement that some people think it is. It's actually funny to me. And it's funny to me that in the late 90s, when I started in wine, that people were, I don't want to get political and political correctness, but like, look, there was one black dude at the tasting. You don't have to describe him like a police description. He's 5'10", this much weight. He went to Rutgers for graduate school. He had these guys. If you just said, oh, who was that black dude? He knew a lot about like that. Then it would have like, so for me, it was permission to be like, it's okay. You can say who was the black guy at the
It line. Really has been really interesting how this thing has all kind of gone out of whack. You know, I'm going to go public with this. I played sports for many years. I played with a lot of guys that were African-American. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot. And they were my teammates.
Yeah.
I never used that as a description.
That's how I grew up. Exactly. That's how I grew
okay?
up.
I guess I was probably wrong when I say I don't ever really notice. Of course, everybody notices. People notice me because I'm bald. Okay. So but that is not a descriptor. That is not a personality trait or anything. And I so appreciate hearing that from you, because right now there's just all this angst and just horrible stuff going on out in the world. And there we've said it, we've said our piece. But thank you for that, you know. But I'm gonna take that as a opportunity to toast, to health, wealth, and abundance, gratitude, romance, even though Shelley is not here, and peace on earth, which is one
and
of
hot our- grease.
Don't say that when I'm sipping.
And so
MJ said he's spitting. But I'm not.
I'm spitting right now. But I mean, it is 6 o'clock. I mean, shit's going about to happen. I'm just trying to.
I'm saying it's 3 o'clock where I am. So
well, listen, that's part of what we do. I mean, there are. Listen, I've had, you know. Listen, I'm coming. Actually, I will be in Walla Walla, Washington when this episode drops.
Oh, really?
On the 26th? At Hospice Derone, yes. So,
really?
How long are you going to be in Walla Walla?
We might need to make a trip.
I'm arriving on the 24th, and then I'm leaving on Sunday, Sunday.
28th. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we need to get together with Long Shadows anyway. So I'm working with Gilles with getting some Long Shadow stuff going.
Oh, Gilles awesome. I met Gilles amazing.
He is amazing. He's the nicest guy. Just our schedules have crossed. But man, this is behind the scenes at Wine Time Fridays, working in almost real time. I love it. when this drops, you will be in W2, as we like to say, Walla Walla.
Yeah. So coming from seeing podcasting from that lens, Ferris Rogan, and then the music background, we were going back and forth. And, Black Wine Guy experience, Jimi Hendrix experience. Mm-hmm. Joe Rogan experience. So I was like, okay, this works, right?
Gary Vee experience.
And we all, the reality is we all experience events differently. We all experience them in our mind and our perception. So there literally is a black wine, I will say this too. I've been thinking about it. That I would probably, I don't know, but I'm thinking about, but studying, there's a person that most people have never heard of, Dewey Markham Jr.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say me. Okay, good.
Black man who wrote a pretty definitive book on the Bordeaux classification of 1855 way back in the late 80s or early 90s.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, Dewey is probably really the original, the OG black wine guy.
MJ's part two.
for the purposes, like I know I was the first African American to be a fine and rare wine auctioneer. I was one of two, usually out of tasting. And so, when I actually started on social media, people just come up with these freaking weird names, man. And it was just simple. I couldn't believe, I didn't get into the wine vertical until about 2017. And I couldn't believe there was people like the Chocolate Somme, the Nubian Somme,
don't get me wrong. Chocolate and Cabernet Sauvignon go very well together.
I agree with you. There's people go red wine and chocolate don't go well together. Oh, well,
what the?
Maybe you are using the wrong gummy. I don't know, but they seem to go well for me. So I was like, how did no one take black wine guy? I was like, how was that available? And I was like, black wine guy. It just went back to this. I remember this one woman I met and she said, what do you do? And I said, oh, I do this. She said, oh, you're a wine guy. And this is like a year in the business. Like, oh, I never even thought of that. I guess I'm a wine guy. And then, I was like, well, black wine guy. It's very simple. People
it does roll off the tongue too. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, but for me, it is always about enjoyment. It's about pleasure.
Have fun.
I was going to call it Beats, Vines, and Life originally. And finally, it can be scary to rebrand. Right. So
it is scary, especially when you build up a successful first brand.
Yeah.
What got you to change your mind and say, you know what? I think I'm ready to go to what I originally wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, one, you know, I've been after, I don't know how much you've invested in your podcast, but I now no longer have any type of 401k.
That can get built back up.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, right? So if I'm making a play,
you can always make more money. You can't make more time.
Exactly. And you know, I think, from a lot had to do with a lot of my favorite interviews are people who are what I call wine adjacent, right? Wine has taken popular culture by storm, as you have on a Seattle Seahawks, jersey. I intend to be sitting down with Sidney Rice when I come out to Walla Walla.
Yeah, that's really, yeah. I'll tell you something right now. I only found out like a month and a half ago that he's got a wine brand. So a quick diversion, just so that you know, because you're a music guy, you're a sports guy, and you're a wine guy. These are all my wheelhouses. We actually have a couple of series on Wine Time Fridays. One is Women in Wine, where we bring on women winemakers, winery owners, things like that, because it's very cool that they're making their way into the wine business. I love that. We also have From Games to Grapes, where we actually take, like, for instance, Drew Bledsoe, Damon Heward. They both have wines out of Walla Walla, or Damon's out of Bothell area, Woodinville, but they get their fruit from Eastern Washington. So we had them on an Apple Cup episode, which was a lot of fun. And so Sidney Rice is one. Charles Woodson is one. I almost got John Elway. Instead, I got his agent, Jeff Spurbeck. But, you know, so there are so many of these players, ex-players. Wayne Gretzky, I've had some of his wine. It's not the best, so I don't know if we want to get Wayne on, the great one. Have you had that wine?
No, I haven't had his wine. You know, I am always suspect of celebrity wine. Just I start suspect, right? Probably that's where I start.
Yeah.
And like, so I've interviewed Josh McDaniels, who's Drew's partner. Love Josh. Yep. Great.
He's also was the coach for the Raiders at some point, or maybe just two guys with different, the same name.
Two guys with different name. Yeah.
It's like Chris Peterson. Chris Peterson's the winemaker at Passing Time.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. So yeah, Josh McDaniel.
So like a lot of my favorite conversations were with wine adjacent people. So JJ Redick, NBA analyst, had a great conversation with him. He's a Berg hound, you know, he loves Burgundy. He knew not that I know a lot, but he knew way more about Burgundy than I did.
Good for him. That's so awesome.
And then Isaiah Thomas was a great conversation, who owns a champagne house, Sherlin. Shout out to Isaiah. And
Isaiah?
The real Isaiah, the bad boy.
The bad boy.
NCAA champion, two-time NBA world champion.
Well, Isaiah Thomas from the University of Washington wasn't a saint either, but he wasn't the original.
I'm not talking about criminal shit. I'm talking about on the court.
Touche. Touche. Yeah,
back when athletes seemed not to get in trouble with the law. Wow.
Yeah, and the NBA is really, really bad that way. Hopefully they clean that up. Football is not much better, but it is better. But yeah.
Yeah. And so I found these conversations are fascinating. And then also, as I got into doing this, there comes a point where I've said this before, I'll say it again, you're a real podcaster, 200 episodes. Most people don't need to have a podcast. I get it, like, oh, I have my voice now, but there's podcasts I can't get past the person starts talking and I'm done because their voice is just not pleasing. Because it's an audio, the medium is audio. Now,
yeah, right.
I use video and everything, but by and by, this is talk radio.
Right? It is. Yeah.
Do you have a voice for that? Right. Like Fran Drescher would never be on the radio. Right? There's a reason why. Because you like, when you watch the nanny, you're like, wow, she's hot. I can't take that voice, but if I could just get her to shut up, I could just look at her.
This is all about
how our tonality and everything.
I know. I get it. That's why make the cut. I edited it out. But when you first came on, you said, man, you got a great voice. That means a whole lot to me. It really does, because nobody thinks they have a decent voice. And I can only be me. I can't talk like this, like an FM. That's just not me. So
right. The
fact that my normal voice is somewhat palatable for the ear, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And that was a thing for me too. When I first recorded my intro and I played it, first of all, I played for myself. I'm like, damn, that's how I sound. Cause I don't, even right now, I don't sound how this is going to sound in my head. It doesn't sound, I don't have a great voice.
No,
I constantly hear that now,
but it's not right.
But when I heard that first recording, people were like, oh my God, you're a professional. And all I did was record after one episode. They're like, that's how you talk. I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, I had a script and I read it, but I wasn't trying to particularly, I grew up, I mean, yes, we make voices. I make voices. I can be funny. I make voice. Hey, I do all that. That's fun. But like, when we first talked, cause we have not talked, did we get on the phone? I don't know if we emailed, but like,
we did have a conversation.
I was like, you got a great voice, right? And then there's a couple other people, John Myers, who works with the Sam Couturier. They have a great podcast, Winemaker's Pod. John Myers is in radio. And so when a radio guy is like, MJ, you got a great voice, that makes me feel good, right? Like, I when know. Someone says that, like,
yeah.
Who?
Because that's
who
some actually, credibility, right? That's some exactly. credibility from someone in the business, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, the pivot was like, yeah, I mean, it's that, there's some quote, I don't know, the Upton Sinclair who said it, but the greatest thing, or TSL, like, you can to grow up to who you're supposed to be. Like this was, I'm not at this point in my life, I'm not going back to even get a WSET1 because I have a pretty vast amount of wine knowledge.
Yeah.
The only people who know more than me, I won't say the only, I'm still in the top 1%. But I'm not trying to work in a restaurant at my age at 55. I'm not want to, you know, I want to
oh,
be
you're
a song.
Kid. You're a kid.
I'm not, I, you know, so I, and I don't need it. I'm already over educated enough. I have a JD I don't use. Right. So let me go get some wine certificate. I'm not paying for any more education, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, you got to build back up that 401k, dude.
Exactly.
well, let
and
me,
so for me, the, people, it's about having fun. I think I said that. So it was like, who do I think is cool that I want to drink wine with? And I'm really getting more back to that because I've had a modicum of success and I'm grateful.
Yes.
I get pitched all the time and I'm like, unless they want to come on and talk about their life. Look, people can read text sheets. I don't need them to come on and regurgitate the text sheet. I want that nugget.
But you know what, MJ, that's what people want to hear. They want to hear the stories. The stories, every story out there is its own unique story. That's what this is all about. You know, if Shelly and I can help educate people about wine, that's great. But it's really about the stories. Tell me a story about what you are tasting on that. You say Echoland?
No, actually, I went with Liminal.
Okay.
2020 Weather Eye Vineyard Syrah. So, I mean, I love wines like this because then I can piss people off. Man, this wine is black AF. It's just got black fruits and black olive. And
for those of you at home that don't know what AF, it's as fuck.
Yeah.
See, I can say that. Shelly's not here.
Yeah. Yeah. You can say, I mean, I love Washington State is so underrated still to this day.
Still young. I mean, it's still young. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, what 60s maybe?
Well, no, probably more like, you know, late 80s, really getting ramping up. They've been growing.
Oh, yeah, ramping up. But I'm saying, even if you said the 60s, you got to think California was 1860s, is my whole point, right?
That's, for sure. Yeah, yeah. But yes, I believe underrated. People are obviously taking note. It's grabbing attention. I've said this for probably 5 years. The California market has been so overpriced, Napa and Sonoma, so overpriced to what, and because of the real estate and all of that. And Washington quality is underpriced. It's going to level out. At some point, it will meet somewhere close. California probably still always be a little bit more expensive than Washington. But the quality difference is they both have quality wines by every measure.
100%. 100%. I believe Weather Eye is a relatively new vineyard and it's mountain fruit. I have not visited. I do have a friend, shout out to Mikal, who is a photographer who visited, and he like texted me. He was like, you have to, I know you've been here like 3 or 4 times. Have you been to what? He's like, you had, he's like, this is one of the most beautiful vineyards I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And you know, good friends, you know, Todd and Carrie Alexander, you know, Todd's been making fruit out of Weather Eye, Travis of, Kobayashi gets some Weather Eye fruit. So I've had the opportunity, but so the Liminal was great because, they sent me a box of stuff for last year's Grenache Fest. And this actually is a bottle I've had in my cellar for a year. I drank the Grenache, but, this Syrah. And I actually Coravanned it, the other night. But just a beautiful color. Look how
dark. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at, I mean, yep. That's just
coming it's in. It's gorgeous. We got a Coravin this December. Shelley's daughter sent her one. Have yet to use it. Do you find that to be really helpful for you? You're, again, trying to scale back a little bit. I mean, we don't need, sometimes we get into this trend where all of a sudden we're a bottle, between Shelley and I will have two that we knock out.
Yeah, night. I know. It's easy for me. Listen, yeah, easy. Like, you know, 2020 and 21, 3 bottles were open every night, pretty much. Because I was like, you know, depending on when I start consuming, a bottle is not hard for someone who is in this business to knock off a bottle. Remember they asked Steven Spurrier, he's like, yeah, I'm sure I have at least a bottle to a bottle and a half a day, you know? Just wanted to get back in a little shape, and it's harder to get in shape as you get older, and your liver is either going to burn fat or it's going to burn alcohol. So yeah. I'm just trying to give my liver a little help.
Yeah, for sure.
But, the Coravin, you're welcome for the free, press Coravin.
I know you for not sponsoring you're not the podcast. A sponsor for us either.
Exactly. But I also, these guys should be a sponsor, 'cause I use these more than Coravin. Repour stoppers. You get them from Amazon. It's packet tin. I love the Repour.
Yeah.
Because like you, there's about 15 bottles of open wine in my fridge. We have a second fridge.
So will you put the open bottle in the fridge and then take because it's chilled, right? And then you'll take it out, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Like I put a Coravin
on a red wine. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know what I want to drink. And I'll pull it out. And then if I don't, and then I'm like, damn it, I didn't pull it out. Then I have to open another bottle. And then there's another bottle in the fridge.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I was like, I need to have my friends over like a black wine guy, remnants party.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a really good idea.
Half, 2 or 3. Yeah, invite your friends over. And these, I'm like you. I get sent wine. I'm very grateful. These are good bottles of wine.
I know.
I mean, I have no idea, but this liminal is not cheap. I'm sure this is over $50. It's probably between $50 and $75.
What I poured in my glass was the 2020 K Vintners Phil Lane, nothing to do with me, Vineyard Syrah, $75. And there you go right there. $75. And so I get it. Hey, have you ever done an open that bottle night?
I mean, yeah, I try to. When I remember, Dottie and John have been on the podcast. They're great people. So
they're
like
the best.
But open that bottle night could just be like, yeah, like what did I have this year? I can't remember what I had this year. But yeah, I pulled something.
We have a lot of
2016s. A lot of 2016 stuff, which is great in California and great in Bordeaux. Yeah. So I pulled something 2016.
We opened a 2013 Barolo.
Mm.
And then late harvest, can't remember exactly what that we got in the Gary V Wine Club that had been lying down for 4 years. And that was fantastic too. So we like to tell people, make the wine the occasion. Don't let it go over the hill.
But yep, I'm a firm believer. I have a window.
Yep. Yep.
I don't like to go past like 12 years. Things start falling off for me.
12 years, my butt. Yeah, we're like.
Well, I'm just saying, like, yeah, no, I agree. No, but that's most. But, like, you know, I have some wines that are now, like, the 2016s. They're 8 years old. I'm going to start knocking those off. I'm going to start knocking those off because I've been to the tasting with the rich friends. Thank God for rich friends who have lots of money and collect wine.
You know, I'm sorry. Touche for that. Touche. Yeah.
But you're there with their 30-year-old wine or 40-year-old wine struggling to find a positive tasting note. You're like, this tastes like shit. Oh, you should have drank this like 25 years ago.
Oh, I know. It's a travesty. It should never be that way, ever. Yeah. So you could have a black wine guy open that bottle night. We've never had more than 10 total people, including Shelley and I, because that gives everybody about a 2.5 ounce pour for every. We let everyone bring their own wine, what means something to them. It's so much fun. It's just so much. And then the last two times we had one of these get-togethers, each of them, when we opened through and tasted through their wine, they had to talk on the mic, and I put that into the episode. So
that's great. That's a very cool thing.
So much fun. So much fun.
Discover the warmth and enchantment of winter at Coeur d'Alene Fresh, your exclusive private venue wine bar. Exciting events like Sip and Swap and Game Night are on the horizon, so stay updated by liking their Facebook page at facebook.com/CoeurDAlene Fresh. This season, Fresh invites club members for exclusive appointments and extends a warm welcome to the public for advanced reservations of 12 or more. Transform your special occasions into unforgettable memories with Fresh, be it a birthday bash, corporate team building, or any unique event. Personalized wine tastings curated just for you and your loved ones add that extra touch. For inquiries and reservations, reach out to Marla at 208-676-8933 via call or text. Here's to toasting unforgettable moments at Fresh.
Let sommelier, wine enthusiast, and winemaker Brad Binko and Eternal Wines take you on a tour through Washington State that will have you quickly thinking of the Rhone Valley in France. As Binko likes to say, he is a sommelier turned winemaker, and he has personally crafted two different brands under one roof, Eternal Wines and Drink Washington State. Eternal Wines are single vineyard wines, very small production but very high quality, lots from Washington's best vineyards. Drink Washington State is single AVA wines and is the bigger of the two labels and is considered a more ready-to-drink style of wine. If you are a Rhone Ranger or just really love Syrah, you owe it to yourself to try these wines. Located in one of the 5 incubator houses in the Airport District in Walla Walla, Washington, Eternal Wines is making a statement in Washington wine. For more information or to order some Eternal Wine for yourself, please visit eternalwine.com or simply call 509-240-6258. Eternal Wine. Drink wine,
be happy.
So, you said something on one of your podcasts about German Pinot Noir and how you are falling in love with that. Am I wrong about that?
I said it's so funny. I'm mixing my European language. I said we, yes, in French.
Oh,
I told you.
I saw your face, and you're like, no, did I get that wrong?
No, I was like, ooh, yeah, no. Like sometimes, in the heat of passion, your face is not always smiley. Like when something's good, something's like, ooh, So it's. I was like,
my face is always smiling.
German Pinot, one of those faces. I've known about it for as long as I've been in the wine business, but it's one of those things like Oregon Pinot Noir that where it had to mature.
Yeah. But they're completely different Pinots. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I joke because when I first started in the wine business, in 97, there was all the buzz about Oregon Pinot Noir and all the ones I had, the vines weren't that old. They weren't that rooted. They were really stemmy to me, not the type of wines I enjoy.
Sure.
Now the vines have grown, they've matured, and they're producing outstanding. But to the point about Spätburgunder or German Pinot Noir, and the sad thing is it's climate change is why
the wine it's playing its part. That's why these champagnes that are coming out of Champagne are actually seeing some competition from, England.
England.
I know. That's got to piss the French off.
Yeah. So, you have that. There's more dry Rieslings now because they can get it fully ripe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So they can go through fermentation and get the sugar out and finish it dry. So I think the same has happened in Germany and just, fortunate. I'll get one of my guests, Robert Dentis, AKA Soil Pimp, largest collector of German wines in America. Has these events called Riesling Study, and he recently started Spätburgunder Study. But at every Riesling Study, he'd bring some crazy Spätburgunder, and I've had Steven Bitteroff from Von Boden, German importer. And then most recently, when I said that in the podcast, that was Jenna Fields, who is now the president of the German Wine Collection, and she brought a 9-year-old German, Spätburgunder Pinot Noir, single vineyard. It was stunning. Particularly when you're talking about a comparison to Burgundy because of, Germany. If you ever seen pictures of the Moselle, some of these places, the vineyards are treacherous, right? And
it's like some of those are in Italy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, And what it becomes is I can't afford Burgundy. I'm so happy. I think I put in one of my emails, just like not a podcast email, but I like it might have been about it was a Spätburgunder. It was like $20. It's crushable, right? Like everybody wants a good $15 to $20 Pinot Noir
because you can't find them.
Because you can't fucking find it.
They are nowhere to be found. There for a while, Meiomi was okay, and then they got bought out, and now they went up in price and down in quality. So it's like.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Find something between $15 and $20 that's decent, very difficult.
And then some of these wines, it might be $40. If that shit was from Burgundy, it's $250 for that quality wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is, and it's just always fast. So it's just fascinating. Because you say Riesling to 99% of the population. Oh, I don't like sweet wine. What are you talking about? Couple things. First of all, not all Riesling is sweet. Second of all, have you ever had a Spätlese? Have you ever had an Auslese? Have you ever had it with something fatty like foie gras? Have you ever had it with spicy food? Do you not know that some of the greatest wines in the world are sweet wines?
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, but that being said, these Spätburgunders are just beautiful. They're just like there's some that are just powerful and some that are just a rethrow, an elegant, very, you're like, hey, Fräulein, very, 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 very just beautiful. Heidi Klum-esque, you know what I mean? Claudia Schiffer type wines, you know?
You remember the very first, what I would ask to be your gateway wine? The wine that you, like, wine's okay, and then you drank it, and you're like, holy shit, I've never had anything like this before. Do you remember what that might have been?
That's a great question.
I have my moments.
I know. We all do who do podcasts, right?
A few and far between, but I do have them.
I would say, I will say this. One that always comes to mind, because I had the opportunity to have great wines, but I remember having, I think, what cemented Grenache as a wine, as the grape that I love. Love, love, love. I'm like John Mayer. Love, 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 love. You know.
Sounds like a Beatles
was,
tune, too.
Yes. Was a 1990 Henri Bonneau Cuvée de Célestin Reserve. Because back in the day, when you had wine merchants before the mega merchants,
yeah,
you know, that we now have, dudes would go to Europe like Kermit Lynch and buy barrels from people. And there was a guy in New Jersey, legendary retailer, Carlo Russo, and not Carlo Rossi, Carlo Russo. And Carlo went over to the Rhone and was friends with Henri Bonneau. And Parker had given his Cuvée Célestin 100 points, and he had a few barrels, and Carlo got a reserve barrel of the 100-point wine just for him to sell. And I got it from a guy I worked with, but he probably sold that wine for like $25. It's probably ridiculously cheap, right?
But he actually shipped the barrel over?
No, he had him bottle it.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. That makes much better sense. Yeah. It's not like an aquavit where you're going to put it on the bottom of a ship.
Yeah, no. Not yo ho ho in a bottle of rum type thing. You know, we're gonna
well, that go makes a lot better and, sense.
Yeah, but I had that at this epic wine dinner in 1999, and I long story short, that wine was just like it was like whoa. I was, and you know, this was at a dinner that we had a couple of Screaming Eagles.
Ah.
We had 82 Cheval, which I love. That's another wine.
You had that at the same
time. But night? I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was our Millennium dinner. We had Marcus and Sharp, and we had everything.
Wow.
76 Grange, I remember from that night. Outstanding.
Wow.
But the Bono, everybody was like, yo, that was the wine of the night.
And it was a 90. Do you remember what year the dinner was?
99. So it was 9 years old.
99. So it was 9 years old. It probably
it was 10 years old. Yes. 9, 10 years old.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect time to.
And that's all. And that became my zone, right? I'm like, yo, this is a good zone. So that kind of, but I mean, if you want to go back, I mean, I think a bottle to give some perspective to people was, when I first started the wine business, not knowing anything about wine and learning about it on the fly, and my first week was over, I was going out to dinner, and I said to Michael Capon, who owned the shop, I'm going out, I'm gonna have duck. He's like, here, take this. It was like $7 or $8. Rabbit Ridge Barrel Cuvée Zinfandel from Sonoma County. And that might have been it. Duck with a butternut squash puree and pumpkin pancakes, whatever the hell I had with that, man. And Zinfandel
off the
was
chart.
Like a revelation of food and wine. And it was $7 that bottle of wine, $8.
There are really good value wines out there still to this day, and I'm on a quest to find each and every one of them.
Absolutely.
So you brought up Grenache. You have an event coming up here in November. I don't know if it's your event, but you are going to be the MC of the event. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think, I mean, I never want to step, but it was conceived by my good friends Carrie and Todd Alexander, and I'm probably going to say it was more Carrie than Todd on that one, because mm-hmm. Todd's busy making wine. Mm. But Carrie came to me and she said, well, let's do something, and we did it last year, and it's a one-of-a-kind wine event. It really encapsulates beets, vines, and life. We did this thing. Sit down seminar. I think we had 200 people, which I moderated. We had Patrick Kaminsky was on the panel with me, and I can't remember the song name right now. It's slipping my, you probably know him. He's from your way. And we had like 12 producers, 11 producers. Todd had two wines, 'cause he brought his Shadow Nuff just, you know, as well. Which I call Beavis, which is not, it's Beatus, but I call it Beavis just to,
I just love to hear, taste the butthead.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. And then his name is Todd, and Todd was you know, it's like Todd's cool. So I always make that joke with Todd and Gary. I'm like,
I hear like, Todd. Hey, I'm like from SNL when Gilda Radner is like, Todd.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes.
Pull your pants up. We don't want to show everybody your crack.
Yeah. Oh my God. so good. So we did this. It was about seminar and then concert, right? It was beets and vines. And last year we had Stephen Malkmus from Pavement, and we had M. Ward and Mark Pickerel, and M. Ward is our music coordinator this year. So we don't know who our big guest is. He's working on some people, but it's fun. And you go to most events and they are, I mean, it was a seminar, and this year's going to be even better. 'Cause I was like, I don't know that. I'm like, okay, I want to give people what they want. I don't want to be too me, because I can get silly and go off the rails. And there might be people who came who want to be really serious. But after we feedback, if you come back this year, just know it's going to be a whole lot of MJ's just personality coming through.
Shelly and I are
moderate.
Yeah, Shelly and I are hoping to be there. If we can get anybody from that event to respond in email, we would love to volunteer. But I'll tell you what, that first event, you're always trying to read the crowd a little bit. It's the inaugural event. You don't have a data point to pull from. And so I think it's human nature to kind of pull back a little bit and read it, because you know you have you start with your C game. You know you can go to your B&A, but you want to just keep people coming back, right? You always want to go a little conservative, I guess.
There were people I know who came because I was moderating. So they were very familiar, right? And I had been to Walla Walla twice and did events before that.
Okay.
So I think people had a sense of who I am. And that's why I love working with Todd and Carrie, because they just got it. Like, do you say fuck? Do you be you, right? You know?
Yeah.
But you know, then I go to another wine seminar, and it's boring as fuck, because they're all everybody, like, it's too serious. Or like, come
on. Like, I mean, you got to be yourself. I get to be an MC for like 2 days. For a big Rotary conference here in Coeur d'Alene, and I'm co-emceeing. And so I told him right off, it's like, I got to be myself. Okay. I can't be somebody that I'm not. And so we'll see how that turns out. Do a little bit of research and then get a mic in front of me. And I'm like, okay, let's have some fun.
Yeah. I'm like, and you know, you said something earlier, and I think it's pertinent to, I don't kind of turn this back to podcasting, I guess. Wow. Just a podcast to be like, sure, to bring things around. The Rogan model of like, I have like, where'd you grow up? Siblings. What'd your parents do? I have like these little just reminders.
Sure.
But I'm like unscripted as hell. Cause it's a conversation, and consequently I'm, wanting to give people a place where they can share about themselves, because most interviews are very targeted. The interviewee has an agenda, and they're going to get through their questions, and you're going to answer them, because this is I think is important.
You saw my show notes. They're just an outline. They're like, what happens if MJ shuts up for 30 seconds and I have nothing at the top of my head? I can look down and I got a question, you know, locked and loaded. But I didn't really think that was going to be the case today. Having just heard a number of your podcasts, I only listen to podcasts really that are conversational. The scripted, they don't interest me at all. And so that's what this is modeled after. And I appreciate that yours is modeled after. You have mentioned fun a lot. What do you see some challenges of making wine education fun and approachable, or has it been pretty easy for you?
Well, you said this as well. I don't particularly think my podcast is educational. But people say, man, I learned a lot on your podcast. So that makes me happy, right? Because then I am
organic.
If I tried to achieve it, I wouldn't. I bet you I wouldn't. Because then I'd become too formulaic, right? And so how it's achieved is by enjoying myself and having a glass of wine with someone that I am finding interesting, or in some cases that I've had to make seem interesting.
I mean, look – This is a part of being, and I'm on a quest.
A host, right?
Yeah, a good host. It's part of that. If you see something going a direction that you'd rather not it go, you have to somehow rein that in and make it seem natural, or you have to cut the whole damn thing out. And I've had to do that on a couple occasions, but not often, you know?
Yeah.
So it's super important to be organic to me. Do a little bit of business right now. The CDA Gourmet Wine Word of the Week is complex. Now, I don't think that I'm a very complex person. You have got a lot of complexities in your education and your history of what you're doing. So there's your yin and yang. But in the wine world, complex is a term used to describe a wine that exhibits a variety of interesting and interrelated flavors and aromas that evolve throughout the tasting experience. It goes way beyond a wine that's simply pleasant or easy drinking. This 2020 Phil Lane Vineyard Syrah from K Vintners it's got some years left to go on it for sure. It's still young, but it's drinking just fine right now. $75. This would taste real. I'm getting a little gaminess in mine. And I know you didn't open yours, but
I've had the K Vintner wines, and I've had the Boy, and they actually do. I know they do some whole cluster, they do some stem inclusion, so I'm not surprised that you're getting the the more gamier characteristics. And please fact check me, people who listen to this, but what I remember from talking to my winemaker friends is that that if you get ripe stems, they actually are a somewhat better conduit of the terroir.
Interesting.
Than actually the grapes. So
makes sense, though, doesn't gospel, it?
But yeah, but you know.
No, I get it. Research. I get it.
I just don't want people like, oh, that black wine guy said this, and
he doesn't know a damn thing about wine.
I drink
wine.
A lot of wine and have a lot of conversations, and sometimes the lines get blurred.
Oh man, if I can just get it to sometimes, I'd be good. It's most times with me. One of my last questions for you is, because honestly, people want to be spoon-fed. What advice would you give to someone who is interested in learning more about wine, other than the obvious thing is drink wine, right? Especially outside what you're used to.
Yeah. Do not, under any circumstances, get hooked on Burgundy, because you will go broke.
No, that was like, I think I know where this is going. Nope, had no clue.
There really is. I can't really, Phil, I can't think of better advice except to try a lot of wines and know that it's okay not to like a wine.
Yes.
That's what I would say.
By the way, if you don't like a wine, like, okay, I'll go ahead and pick on Merlot because the movie did a great job of that. But if you don't like Merlot because you had a bad Merlot or one that you didn't like, that means you had the wrong Merlot.
Exactly. Yeah.
Try another Merlot. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we had a Monastrell last night. And again, we're learning on this adventure as well. And this journey got to us last night, which is it's the same grape as Mavedra. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. And so just learning this stuff, it's hard to find a Monastrell in one sense, you know? And so some of the wines we did enjoy this week, Louis M. Martini Cabernet Sauvignon, Pacific Rim Dry Riesling, Molina della Suga Brunello di Montalcino, and Amira Chardonnay, or Mira. I can never remember how to pronounce that, out of Napa Valley. So what are the dates for the Grenache experience or conference?
Okay, so it is called Grenache Fest. It's a fest.
Because
it's like, think of Lollapalooza with wine. Because I can't think of like a, you know, it's not shout out to Napa. It's not Bottle Rock because it's Walla Walla. It's not all the sexy people from LA coming up to drink wine. It's just people who enjoy wine.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of cool people. And I love that area because it's you're pulling from Boise, Portland, and Seattle, right? Those are the cities that you're pulling from. And I love all those cities.
Yeah.
They're really cool cities.
Yep.
So it's November 8th and 9th.
Okay.
In Walla Walla, Washington.
For those keeping score at home, the November 8th is 3 days after my birthday. So there you go.
Like I said, it's going to be a sit down seminar, with a concert following it. We, you know, food, the next day, I believe we are working on a Garnacha. So a Catalonia seminar specific, we're working on that. Plus some type of walk around tasting. And tickets have gone on sale, but the thing to do is go to GrenacheFest.com.
You're in the show notes.
In the show notes, Carrie will be reaching out to people who want to volunteer. I have people who've talked to me. So if you submitted, you're on the list. She's just working on that.
Beautiful.
But it is, if you like music and you like wine and you like red wine, and also we have Grenache Blanc, but if you want to, you know, it's the most fun I've been fortunate to go to a lot of events. I've never been to Bottle Rock. I said, but I've been to some epic tastings. I've been to some epic concerts. But this is a place where two things that come together and pretty much in this country, an unheralded grape, right?
Right. Yes.
Like the most planted variety in the world for a long time.
Washington's producing some great Grenache.
And Washington is making some great Grenache.
Yeah.
So
something tells me that any event or festival that MJ is at is epic. And so you will want to go because of that alone, and then you're going to have a great time. Are you redirecting from blackwineguide.com, or are you going to keep that going even through the new?
Yeah, no, someone else, it's been great. When you do things like this, I'm fortunate for people who will reach out and say, hey, like someone emailed me and I have Beats, Vines, and Life and is redirecting, but I might have too many things redirecting. Mm. So, you can still go to blackwineguy.com, right? Because I am the Black Wine Guy.
That's not going to probably change anytime
soon. It's not going to, listen, I saw The Jerk the other day, Steve Martin. Phil, you mean I'm going to stay this color? I love that.
It's one of the best lines in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Navin, your wife, you mean I'm going to stay this color?
That is awesome. That is like the best line in the entire movie. And it's really a movie chock full of great lines.
Exactly. But so, yeah. So I would say in Black Wine Guy on Instagram, go follow Beats, Vines, and Life on Instagram, because I'm going to be doing more posting over there as Beautiful. The show goes. And the idea is to take the show on the road, right? So when I go to Walla Walla, I want to do with this kind of like what Bourdain did with food, as a background for conversations with really cool people. And there are great people in wine, but there's also just great people around the world who enjoy wine. And there's more people around the world who enjoy wine than there are, no diss on wine, than there are just great people in wine. Like we don't have a monopoly on the great people of the world, right?
So, exactly.
And I want to reach those people and hear their stories. And, you know, I'll just say, whether you are religious or not, there's only one beverage in the first book ever written, and it's wine. There's a reason for that.
It sure is, which is fantastic. I was going to say, we are one of my goals for this podcast is to actually get a sponsorship from an RV dealership and take Wine Time Fridays on the road through Wine Country. Now, I'm not sure if that shows well, having a Wine Time Fridays on the side of a truck.
Well, you just have to have a driver. Designated driver.
That's right. So a couple things coming up. You know, we mentioned Oregon wines, right? The Pinots, Gris, and Noirs. In May is Oregon Wine Month. It's also Aussie Wine Month. In May 3rd is Sauvignon Blanc Day. 17th is Pinot Grigio Day. 23rd, thank you to Rick Backus. Chardonnay Day. There's actually two Chardonnay days. There's a world and international. Don't ask me why. 24th of May is the anniversary of Judgment of Paris. I always mention that because it's so important, even though we probably won't have a Stag's Leap or a Chateau Montelano this year. Yeah. The 25th is every day, National Wine Day. And then June is Idaho Wine Month. And we're going to have Luke... And we're going to have Luke. You're getting choked up because of Oregon Wine Month.
I was really emotional about it.
I can see why. We're going to have Luke Marquez with Molly Duker in May. Super excited about that. Next week, Ron Sharman with Fly With Wine is coming on. We're going to
Love him.
Yes. Love him. And we're going to have a lot of fun with Ron. He's a great guy. Huge thanks to Eternal Wine and Coeur d'Alene Fresh for being today's sponsors. By the way, MJ, thank you so very much for being here today. And who knows, man, we might be connecting this weekend in Walla Walla. I don't know if the moons will line up or not, but who knows? At the very least, we will hopefully meet you in person in Walla Walla in November. So
I look forward to it.
With a little bit of knowledge, wine becomes a lot less overwhelming. Thank you again, MJ, for being here. Continued success with your new branding, and we'll see you guys next week with Ron Sharman.
Cheers. Thank you so much, Phil. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Sommelier, wine enthusiast, and winemaker Brad Binko is all about producing some of the best Syrah in Washington State. And that he has. If you are a Rhone Ranger or just really love Syrah, you owe it to yourself to enjoy the single vineyard wines of Eternal Wine, or check out the single AVA Drink Washington State wines, which is the larger of the two labels, or try both. Visit eternalwine.com for more information, or simply call 509-240-6258. Eternal Wine. Drink wine. Be happy.
This winter season, Fresh invites club members for exclusive appointments and extends a warm welcome to the public for advanced reservations of 12 or more. Transform your special occasions into unforgettable memories with Fresh, be it a birthday bash, corporate team building, or any unique event.
personalized wine tastings curated just for you and your loved ones add that extra touch. For inquiries and reservations, reach out to Marla at 208-676-8933 via call or text. Here's to toasting unforgettable moments at Fresh. Thank you for spending part of your day to wind down with Shelley and Phil. Remember, you can listen to any episode of the Wine Time Fridays podcast by visiting winetimefridays.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And join us on our Wine Time Fridays Facebook page, Instagram, YouTube channel, or on Twitter, which is at Vintage Tweets, for daily conversation. Until next week, here's our toast to you. To health, wealth, abundance, gratitude, peace on earth, and of course, romance.